Papa Foxtrot Julia 2. Welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. I'm Larry Kluger, a board member and your host for today. The first rains of the season fell this past week, and it's a beautiful day in Jerusalem. We look forward to learning some Torah with you today. Thank you for tuning in. Today's shiur is entitled Tshuva, the Great Turning, its Moral and Mystical Promise. A couple of brief announcements, and we'll turn it over to Rabbi Landis. Your participation feedback is vital for the success of the podcast series. Please send us comments on the episode, where you live, and how you heard about us. Please send your email to podcast@pardesusa.org. Thank you. That's PardesUSA.org. There's a handout sheet available for this podcast. It's optional, but would be helpful. It's available from www.pardes.org. pardes.org.il/podcast or stroke podcast if you live in the United Kingdom. That's it. And now Rabbi Daniel Landis, the director and Rosh Hashiva of the Pardes Institute. Rabbi Landis,
go ahead.
Thank you. And welcome from Jerusalem. Our topic today is tshuva. Tshuva literally can mean answer. And its connotative meaning, and the great meaning, is repentance. Repentance is often posed as a great answer, the answer, the final answer. But actually, amongst our more sensitive, mystical teachers, tshuva is not just an answer which can be fixed. Repentance fixed to a given situation, you just apply it and it miraculously works. But tshuva really doesn't mean turning, it's an orientation. And once one turns in a different direction, one sees everything just differently. But I've spoken enough, let me give you a few words of the moral and mystical master who we will study today, and that's Rav Kook. Rabbi Kook was one of the great Jewish luminescent beings and thinkers of the early 20th century. And he wrote a small poem. The poem in Hebrew is entitled Hatshuva Ba'ah, literally, tshuva, repentance comes. And here's my translation. Tshuva, turning she comes, and on my doorstep stands. She knocks upon my door, and here I am, scared to open to her wide the gates of my heart. Ana Hashem Hoshia Na, O Lord, save me now. Tshuva is a scary thing. It's scary because it shows us the ability that we can change our lives, that we don't need to be exactly the way we were before, that we can undergo transformation. And that transformation, just as we turn around and see something new, or we turn from one direction to another direction, can change everything. Tshuva as a topic doesn't have a chapter in the Bible, although it may have a small book, and that is perhaps the exception, the book of Jonah, in which it takes being swallowed by the whale or the Leviathan before he understands that maybe he is looking upon his role in life in the wrong direction, he has to rethink. But aside from that, tshuva is a topic that seems to creep up in the Bible but is not fully discoursed upon. And that's really true also with our rabbis. Even in the great tractates that deal with the high holidays, there are several compelling pages dealing with turning back to God. But it's only several pages. It really took the great medieval thinkers to present tshuva in many of its systematic directions. In other words, like to have step programs, a ladder of ascent to where one can achieve this change of personality, a change of purpose. One of the great thinkers, which will serve as our background to Rabbi Kook, is that of Maimonides. And Maimonides, a great legalist and philosopher and doctor and healer of the soul and healer of the body and healer of fractured societies, he had a program. He said, what is tshuva? Tshuva is that a sinner should abandon his sins, remove them from his thoughts, and resolve in his heart never to commit them again. He says this in his essay on tshuva, the laws of tshuva, in his great Mishneh Torah. He should abandon sins, remove them from his thoughts, resolve in his heart. He should regret the past. And he should know that whatever is hidden has become public. In fact, he makes it public. He must verbally confess, vidui, confess, and state these matters which resolved in his heart. He confesses it out loud, not so that everyone can hear. It's liturgically done. It's done in a group process, group support. It's done on the holiday season. But his inner feelings should be there, that he expresses the list of areas where he felt that he hasn't done it right. So there's a path here. There's a path towards tshuva, and that is abandoning, first of all, the path from before. A hard thing to regret that which has taken place, and that's often difficult for people, because often people feel that when they have regretted what they have done in the past, they are denying their self. If I regret what I've done for many years, aren't I in a case of self-denial? I'm in a case of self-contradiction. And there's a hard one of verbally confessing. By the way, and I should have stated this at the outset, all this is conditional upon the fact of any interpersonal wrong that has been done. One must go, and one must fix it with one's friend, and one must return that which one has taken. And if one has taken an object, return the object. And one has stolen from a promise, one must return on that promise. And if one has hurt a feeling, one must redress that. But when all that is accomplished, and without accomplishing that, nothing else can take place. But once all that is accomplished, still, how does one return? And for that matter, who is one returning to? So actually, we're returning, according to the Jewish tradition, to God. And according to the mystics, we're returning to our self, to the person that we really always could have been, or maybe sometimes were. We return to ourself, we return to God. And when we return this way, we become the type of person that can contribute, can be part of a relationship, a personal relationship. We can be fathers and sons and daughters and mothers and sisters and brothers, and we can become lovers. How is this to be understood in our contemporary time? So I'm going back to this little poem we said by Rav Kook, Tshuva, turning she comes, because tshuva means turning, she comes. And tshuva confronts us, on my doorstep she stands, she knocks upon my door. And there's that knock there. And I'm afraid, I'm really scared to open up to her, because to really open up to her, I have to open up everything. Because if I'm really going to turn, if I'm really going to turn to God, and by turning to God, turning back to who myself is, so that I can turn to others, I have to open up wide. And here, almost comically, but it's kind of like a religious comedy, we say, oh God, save me from this. And of course, the irony, by praying to God, oh God, save me from this. That's the moment that's actually the prayer you say before you go down the ski slope. You say, oh my God, save me, but you go down the slope. And you start that descent. And as you start the descent, the acceleration builds up. And the possibility of flying can take place. So let's go from this to an essay of Rav Kook. It's a long essay. It's actually could be termed a booklet. Orot HaTshuva, the lights of tshuva, the lights of turning. And he discusses what the experience of tshuva is. A little bit different. He assumes the kind of Maimedean path we talked before, which talks about abandoning the bad path, the regret of what one has done in the past, the confession and verbal confession of the sins, the fixing up of what one has done wrong. He's assuming that, and now he's asking a different question. He's going, in a sense, giving the analytic and mystical presentation of this poem of what really is the phenomenon of tshuva. How do we experience it? And he says there's several different types, and this is available to you on the handouts that is on the web. And I will quote, however, from several parts of it. He says there are several levels and dimensions of tshuva, of the turning. There's tshuva that relates to nature, and there's tshuva that relates to our faith commitment, and there's tshuva that relates to our consciousness. Here he says reason, but I think we would translate consciousness. So there's nature, there's faith, there's reason or consciousness. So let's begin with the tshuva that relates to nature. Tshuva, nature, what are we talking about? We're talking about tshuva on the that emerges from a physical need, and later on tshuva that relates to a spiritual desire. And he says things that seem quite radical. Rav Kook wrote this, we estimate, the early part of the 20th century, sometime during World War I or right before that, around that period of time. And let me quote. He says, physical tshuva, or tshuva that emerges out of one's physicality, is related to all transgressions against the laws of nature and such laws of morals in the Torah as are linked to the laws of nature. Every act of wrongdoing must in the end engender illness and pain, and the individual as well as society is exposed to much suffering as a result of this. After it becomes clear that the person himself, as a result of his misbehavior, is responsible for his distress, he necessarily gives thought to correcting his condition, to conforming to the laws of life, to becoming obedient to the laws of nature, the laws of morality, and also the laws of Torah, so that he may be renewed in life's vitality. That's a lot here. And at first, if you're hearing this for the first time, I can tell you that when I heard it for the first time, I responded with shock. Am I saying that we're punished for our sins, or that if a person suffers, it's always because that a person has sinned? I don't think this is exactly what Rav Kook is telling us. We don't know the ways of God, and we can't relate what every individual does and what happens to them. But there is an example from our life. I had learned this many years ago with a woman that I married. And Cheryl said to me that her experience as a mental health practitioner, that this was really the almost mandatory heart attack that executives used to get and maybe still do. That you work like a dog, and you spend so many, many hours at it. You often abuse your body. You always oftentimes forget about your soul, all to good purpose. You want to build a company. You want to feed your family. You want to do, and you may be doing also good things. You're not a bad person. But meanwhile, you do all this, and you come to your mid-50s, and all of a sudden the heart attack takes place. Well, we're talking about a good luck story in which they're able to unblock the blockage. They're able to save you. And then comes the conversation between the doctor and patient, which is actually, if one thinks about it, as a spiritual conversation. The doctor says, look, you got to change your life. You got to lose weight. You have to start smoking or abusing your body in a different way. You have to spend more time with the kids. You have to get rid of all the stress, or at least as much stress as you can. It's almost like a ritual or rite of passage that's only after going through the heart attack that the executive allows himself, and now today herself, to change their life. This is tshuva, this is the turning that comes from nature. It just doesn't work. It's a lifestyle in which you're doing it in order to build yourself, but actually in the end, it kills you. And this is really what Rav Kook is speaking about. We have to realize that we're responsible many times, not all the times, but many times for our distress. We know that we're also responsible for our own healing. And a lot of times, this is a moral change. To go back to essential relationships. To not to believe in excess. To do things that not just give pleasure, but have meaning in themselves. Not only to take, but to give. Not only to do, but to be. And this is the turning, I believe, that Rav Kook speaks about. And he says that the science of medicine, here he's writing in the early part of the 20th century, concerns itself a good deal with this, but it's an important phenomenon that has not yet been fully clarified. I think we're clarifying it now in our generation. And we could relate this really completely to the notion of tshuva. Let's go to the second type of tshuva that he calls natural tshuva, and this is the spiritual dimension of tshuva. That's what is technically called, translated as the reprimand of the conscience. Actually, in the Hebrew, it's the reprimand of the klayot, of your innards, of your kishkas, that somehow you feel inside that something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with us. That this life, and we're not talking about the physicality that also may still be involved, but we're not talking about is that I'm having success, I'm doing some things right. Yes, we have our failures, but I have the success, but I'm not getting out of it what I need to get out of it. I don't feel good about everything that I do. I don't feel proper. Sometimes I feel dirty with what I do. We're not talking out here about the great wrong sins. We're not talking about the great betrayals that sometimes we fall into, but we're talking about the small betrayals. We're talking about the small talk, the smallness in general that overwhelms us. And sometimes if we have not, I'm quoting Rabbi Cook, if we have not suffered a total spiritual degeneration, we can reach a place in which it just doesn't bother us anymore. And it doesn't bother us anymore. When you feel no pain, you know that the limb is dead. And if you're feeling the pain, well, at least you have a hope. You can bring it back. So he says, if one has not suffered a total spiritual degeneration, then one's sensitivity will cause him to disquiet, and he will suffer pain. This pain is a good thing. He sees that his life needs to move in a different direction. Both these physicality and spirituality that Rav Cook talks about, or that of the soul, he understands that it's natural. It's engendered from within. It causes us and demands from us a turning. Of course, in all these things, there's many subjective and there's many different objective conditions. We can misjudge a situation. We don't always know what to do. But the first and major decision is, are we going to turn it around? Are we going to open ourselves wide? Are we going to suffer the danger of opening ourselves wide, making ourselves vulnerable, and move towards that transformation? We have finished now the first section that Rav Cook spoke about, of tshuva emerging out of nature, which is tshuva both in the physical sense and tshuva in the spiritual sense. And then he says tshuva that's motivated from one's faith. That if you look closely within our religious tradition, and there are parallels to tshuva in other religious traditions, but I'm speaking out of Judaism, and I think actually tshuva is one of Judaism's great contributions. The notion that one can change, the notion that one will sin, the notion that sin does not need to be final, and the notion that one can change, and that transformation is good. That one does not need to escape the world, one does not need to hide from the world, one does not have to deny what one has done, one has to accept what one has done, and to move on from there. And according to Rav Cook, the whole basis of Jewish faith is based on tshuva. And I think this is what he has in mind. Judaism is often characterized, and sometimes stereotyped, but the stereotype is based on a reality, as a religion that really believes on the doing, on the action of accomplishment, of doing the moral act and doing the ritual act and of creation. While we have our contemplative parts to Judaism, which are fantastic, they're always, in a sense, on the top of the actual doing. Our Shabbat, our Sabbath, is a time of getting dressed and preparing the table. And having people over, and not just friends, people who are hungry, people who need to be at a table, and creating a celebration. In fact, the term we use for Shabbos is to make Shabbos. But the truth is, anything that you make can also be broken. And that's why that's the risk in a doing religion, that you're never always going to achieve it. And that's the notion of sometimes falling and sometimes missing the mark. That's the word for sin. Sin, chait, means to miss the mark. You know, you don't exactly get it right. That system would be unbearable if there wasn't, when one sins and one falls and one misses the mark and when one is negligent and one is just human, it would be an unbearable system if there wasn't a way of turning it around. That's what Tshuva says. Tshuva says, you got to get back into the ring. You got to dust yourself off. You got to learn from your mistakes. Know how you know which were your missteps. Know which really were not just missteps, but were really wrong steps. You got to fix what you can fix, and you get back in there, and you start plugging away. And this is what God asks from you and demands from you and welcomes from you and gives you not just as a command, but as a blessing and as an opportunity. There's always a second act in Judaism. There's always a third act, and there's a fourth act. Oh, we want the first act to be right, and we want the second act to be right. But there's always that chance, and we never despair of that chance. And that's the tshuva that comes, that's integral to our religious faith. Now I want to come to the last section that he deals with in his very first chapter. And this is what he calls tshuva that comes with reason. I said consciousness. And let me read you at this point a little bit from him. He writes that tshuva, or penitence, according to reason, comes after all these steps, comes after tshuva according to nature and religious faith have already taken place. In other words, you've done the work. You've kind of been on the program. You've regretted. You've confessed. You've tried to fix things up. What happens then? There's tshuva according to reason or tshuva of consciousness. Tshuva represents the peak of this tshuva according to reason is the peak of the penitential expression. This is a level that's not inspired by a natural malaise, whether it's physical or spiritual, or it's not because it's inspired or under the influence of religious tradition because one reads a verse and says, you know, I really should do tshuva. It's not been induced because of a fear of retribution or some conditioning. It's inspired, not that any of those things are wrong. Those are all aids to let us reach a higher level. But what is the highest level? This is the highest level. Is a tshuva inspired? Here he goes. This is a great line. Listen to this. It's tshuva inspired by a comprehensive outlook on life that comes to crystallization after all these phases have done their work. It means that one has a clear perception of where you've been, what you've done, what you've been through, and where you can go after you have achieved what you've achieved. He says now a line, which is a radical line, that it's almost unbelievable that Judaism, a religion which takes sin very seriously and takes missteps very seriously, can say this. This is what he says. Does this tshuva of reason, of understanding, of consciousness, transforms all past sins into spiritual assets? From every error, it derives noble lessons. And from every lowly fall, it derives inspiration, the inspiration for the climb to splendid heights. There's a point in the tshuva process, early in the tshuva process, that one has to speak out to oneself against what you've done wrong, against mistakes, against wrong ways of being that you know in your kishkas, whether it's your physical kishkas, your inner self. Whether it's your physical inner self or it's your spiritual inner self or whether it's from the faith system that you have, you don't have to be mistaken. There's a point of regret and there is a point of denial and saying that we don't want this anymore. And that is, however, one necessary phase at the beginning. Later on, one has been through the transformation, one can see where one has come from. And this is called integration. This is called putting it all back together. This is a tshuva that returns one's person to oneself. Not only your ideal self, but returns your entire past to yourself. Tshuva, in brief from Rav Kook, is a process of return. It's returning to God, returning to oneself. Not an easy process, but a glorious process. A process that can be achieved. Let's hear the poem for one last time. Tshuva. Turning, she comes, and on my doorstep stands. She knocks upon my door, and here I am scared to open up to her. Wide the gates of my heart. Ana Hashem Oshia Na, O Lord, save me now. I think we can utter this poem and this prayer with great expectation. Wishing you all a wonderful and great turning. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Landis. Please tell your friends about this podcast series, and please let us know your thoughts and comments. Please send us the email via podcast@pardesusa.org. Shalom and goodbye from Jerusalem.